this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Amen and good morning. It's like any kerk, né? So, can I just see who's visiting this church for the first time? Is it like first time visitors? My friends. And now, I'm from another Shofar congregation. I just want to say warm welcome here. And I do want to say I know the pastor of this church personally is a good friend of mine. This is a good church. So stick around and I'll give you a money back guarantee if it doesn't satisfy your deep spiritual needs. I'm the pastor from Secunda, and I was upgraded to Secunda from Cape Town. It's my claim of fame. Secunda, Sekis, whatever you want to call it. South Africa is Mauritius. That's how we like to refer to ourselves. We've got a waterfront, and if we don't have it, we build it. That's how we think. So you're very welcome to come. And some of you guys have visited us. Germo, I see a lot. And Heinrich's entourage. Herky, thanks for visiting us. I was talking to a friend of mine a while back. And he's a new member in our church. And he actually had a really bad story. He was going to get married. And then, like, literally a week before the wedding, his fiancé said it's not going to happen. A few months later, more stuff came out. And a few months after that, more stuff. And so it came out, there was actually another guy in the picture while they were engaged. And he met me with me just to share his heart. And I prayed with him. That was a day before he went on a 2 weeks holiday. And that is the most difficult time to deal with a broken heart is when you're on holiday. Because that's when the enemy comes and lies to you. That's when you're alone. That's when you don't have what we have here. And even, you think, you know, oh, pastors, you know, they're like spiritual super subs, or super players. It's not true. You know, even if I go on holiday in December and I'm away from church for 3 weeks, it's really difficult for me also. I often feel guilty. I feel, I want to spend more time with God, and I need my friends to encourage me. And I'm sharing this because this morning I'm teaching on temptation. And I'm calling it smashing temptation because there's no other way to talk about temptation. It's something that needs to be smashed, broken, beaten, kicked in the hiney. You know, you need to deal with it accordingly. Amen. And I just had this on my heart for you guys. Because I was thinking about my friend, and I thought, yo, what are the things that will come his way, you know, in this 3 weeks when he's away? Because he's really at his lowest low. And I think for all of us, you know, we need to know how to deal with temptation. And if we get this down, it really makes us stronger as believers. And to be ignorant of temptation is really not smart. So I hope that we're going to have a good time together. I enjoyed putting this thing together, and I just want to pray for us. Lord, thank you that this morning you've got such a special appointment with us, Lord. And Jesus, we just want to agree, Lord, that you are the most precious treasure in our lives. Lord, your blood that cleansed us, for everyone who has called on your name, Lord, to say to ourselves, we are saved because another man died. Wow. And so, Lord, this morning, the purpose for this message is not to talk about temptation and talk about the devil. It is to keep our hearts so close to yours. It is to treasure you more than anything else. It is to be connected to you, Lord, in a very emotional way, Lord. And all of us, Lord, experience temptation because Jesus did. And Lord, I pray that as we are on different roads this morning, different experiences and different temptations that each one of us, Lord, will see doors that God has provided for us to run through back into His presence. Lord, if some of us at the moment is in dark places of sin, Lord, because the enemy has trapped us, and sometimes, Lord, it comes over us because of another person or because of a situation that's not directly in our control, but we find ourselves in this place, Lord, I pray that You will provide a door out this morning. And those of us, Lord, who's been walking with You, maybe we don't know You that long, but at the moment there's just a very, very transparent relationship between You and such people, Lord, I pray that as temptation come to steal that away, that we will see it. We give You all the glory. We give You all the glory in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. All right, now, who comes to church with a notebook? The rest of you must make a plan. So what I tell my leaders is, every now and then, come to church with two notebooks and give someone one. You need to make notes. How can you remember? Okay? So for today, we pray for supernatural intellectual capturing abilities. Thank You, Lord, we impart it. And as of next week, everyone will have a book. Amen? So, by the end of today, I hope, or you should walk away here with 5 pointers on temptations. Okay? 5 things, maybe 5 handles, you want to call it, to better understand it. And I want you that as I go through these things, that you can really apply it to your life. Really think about your situation. Think practically and see if you can put handles on the things in your life when the enemy comes for you. Does that make sense? Firstly, let me just ask, what is the purpose of temptation for the devil? What does he want to accomplish by it? Any takers? Let's go. Okay, capture you in sin. Yes. Let's go. Let's roll. Division. Firstly, between you and God. And then just all over the place. Yes. Distract you. Yes. Just want to get your thoughts going. I just got a few that's maybe not your obvious ones, just to broaden the base we want to play on today. Maybe the enemy wants to tempt you to make a decision so that after you made that decision, he can persuade you that you're not really in love with Jesus. You don't love him. You don't love him. He loves you, but you don't care for him. Look at the decision you made. Maybe he wants you to make a decision so that, or decisions, or get into a pattern or a habit so that you can slowly but surely destroy relationships around you. And often when you're married, it starts with your wife. Then it goes to parents, children, siblings, friendships. Life, he loves to destroy, bring disunity into relationships. He wants you to slowly but surely make decisions and get into habits that will, even by a slight distraction, point you away from your calling and get you into habits and things that takes you in different directions. Okay. Now, can God tempt you? No, the Bible says no. Can God test you? What's the difference? Don't answer. We'll get there. Let's just, before we go into our 5 pointers, let's just get into what I call temptation mechanics. Let's just understand the works a bit better. James 1 verse 12 says, blessed is the man. Are we rolling? James 1 verse 12. We're going to get there. Are you going to follow with me so long? James 1 verse 12 says, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life. Okay, just see that connection. When he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Let's just read on. Store that somewhere on your hard drive. Next one. Looks like we've got a bit of issues today. I'll go on so long. James 1 verse 13. Let no one say when he is tempted, I'm being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. We're going to come back to this section. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Okay, so there we get the one answer. God does not tempt. Follow me here. 1 Peter 1 verse 6. Or two verses. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary. Necessary, who determines if it's necessary or not? Sorry? Can't you hear? If necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. Aha. So that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, that perish, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise. So God does bring tests over our road. Can we agree with that? If it's necessary. So that our faith can be proven very precious. So typically, when there's a test that's ordained by God, inspired by God, and you go through that test, at the end, your heart will echo something like this. Yes, my faith is real. I didn't give up tithing. It's a small little thing, but between me and God, it's real. It's real what is between me and God. This was a difficult situation. I didn't see the end. My faith is genuine and it's precious. It's more precious than gold. That's kind of the effect when God is at work with us when it comes to tests and trials. Are you with me? So what you want to see is almost like a dad. I've got a baby at home. That's still mild. Let me tell you. Have you seen the parents in church with the young kids? They can focus on a sermon if the kids are screaming, yeah, rah! And all the single people, they're like, what's going on? The roof is going to fall down. We're having a baby boom at our church at the moment. And yeah, that's interesting. Sermon. God is like a father cheering on his boy. And that boy has challenges. Even if the boy is just playing sport, he's going to get smashed. He's going to be hit by a hockey stick on the knee or whatever. And in some way, see it as a trial. And God is saying, you can do it. He encourages you through it. And after it, he speaks to you about it. And you know what? You're a better person. That's God's heart when it comes to trials and things. Now, let's go on. Let me just say about this. If you overcome a public test or a public trial, your faith is on public display. Did you know that? That's a good thing. Why do you give money to the church? Why do you do that? Why don't you move in with your fiancé? You want that questions. That's why we are here. Don't be caught with a mouthful of teeth when someone asks you, why don't you live with your girlfriend? Set that question up. You want them to ask it. Not to smash them. Is jy stupid? Natuurlijk doen mense het nie. Tell them God is so precious to you. He has done so. You know how God is blessing this relationship? Think about it, because that's why we live. We live to raise questions. And as we overcome tests, God is preparing us for eternity. And that is awesome. So we can say biblically, God does test his children. So let's just go to our first point. John 10 verse 10. Check this out. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that I may have life and have it more abundantly. Let me just put a whole new spin on temptation. And hear me here. When I say temptation, okay, let's be brutally honest. When I say temptation, most men think pornography, back at your years when you had to take that thing down, you think of movies you should not watch, you think, am I right? Maybe money. When I say temptation to girls, I don't have a clue what they're thinking, okay? But I can guess, okay? But let me, let me just paint a whole different picture here. Do you know that when your mom or dad dies, that can be temptation? Temptation to forsake God. Temptation to fall into depression. Temptation to believe God is not good. Temptation to say the scripture that says every good and perfect gift comes from the Father. That's wrong. Temptation goes far above apparent sin. It goes into those chambers of your heart that takes you to despair, takes you to depression, unbelief. The greatest sin is unbelief. Temptation comes in different packages. And if it can get you to not trust God, then it will. But the very same incident, the death of a parent, which is a terrible thing, can also be a test from God. Draw near to me now. Let me feed you now. Let me be close to you now. Let me carry you now. Let's grow in intimacy now. People die. Okay, that's what happens. It's gonna happen. Come close to me now. The same incident can be temptation and a test from God. On the one side of the field, there's God the Father that says, come in this situation, come to me. You will make it. On the other side, there's the father of lies saying, I'm going to kick you now. I'm going to get you with this. It can be the same incident. So the first point I want to make is this. God tests, number one, so that we may succeed. And Satan tempts that you may fail. And sometimes it can be the same situation. Amen? Every situation in our lives, good or bad, there's God saying, come to me now. Come to me now. Let's get faith into the situation. The same situations, the enemy is there, accusing, abusing the situation. Happy with one. Let's go. Let's go. Let's roll. I'm going back to this verse. Let no one say when he is tempted, I'm being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted. I'm going to skip to verse 14. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Now, listen to this story. This is a story I've heard from another pastor, and it's great. Jan George in Ek. We are both in a financial difficult situation. Okay. We are. Let's for argument's sake say it's the same situation, same stats, everything. I'll be the bad guy here, okay. But there's a difference between the two of us, okay? So Jan George has been faithful in giving to God what is God's. Okay, he's been keeping his faith. He's like, God, this is tough, but let's do this together. I, on the other hand, I've said, Lord, I cannot do this. And so I've been making a deal with God. You know, when I get back on track, you know, I'll tithe 15% and we'll make it up. I've got a little graph worked out. And so, but in the same situation, the one has kept faith in the situation and I've lost faith in that situation. Okay, we're both saved, both believers. I'm just saying this is where we're at the moment. And you agree with my story so far. Okay. So we go to a coffee shop to have water. But someone gives us like $50 to get coffee. So we're okay. So, but as we go to the table, Jan George says, excuse me, I'm just going to quickly go to the bathroom. And as I sit down, there's 700 rand on the table. And the first thing I think is, God is my provider. Here is my tank of petrol. But I know this was a very generous tip for the waiter. Okay, it's one of those restaurants. Okay. And I take the money. I'm like, okay, Lord, if I take this now, you know I need it. Okay. I'll leave this 100 here for the waiter. Okay. This is what I've been praying for. But as I struggle with myself, the Holy Spirit I am still in a relationship with God. I'm just going through a tough time. The Holy Spirit is speaking to me, no, this is not your money. I want you to give it to the waiter. And I struggle with myself. Like, oh, okay, God. Young George comes back to the table. He sees the money. He's like, oh, he picks it up. He doesn't think. He says, manager, who's covering this table? And none of us sinned, agree. But what is the difference between the two of us? Even in that instance, if not one of us physically sins, what was the difference? What happened in that moment revealed which was in our hearts. What was in our hearts? In my heart, I've already given to the enemy a foothold, and I was willing for a moment to take what was not mine. And because of his faith before the situation came, when that trial came, he passed it with honors. Boom. They didn't even think about it once. The same situations reveal different conditions of the heart. And so what I want to say at point number two is that temptation reveals the condition of your heart. What happens in a moment of temptation, it says a lot more about my heart than the circumstance itself. Okay. So I've got a testimony which I am really, really ashamed of, but I'll tell it in any case. So I've got this friend. He sponsored me to go with him on the Cape Epic, and he's a good friend of mine. So we have a good understanding. And I've got a contact with a game lodge. In any case, so he says, "Won't you use your contact, and then I'll take us all to the game lodge? You get us a special price, and then he will cover it." So okay, I'm like, okay, I get to work. I like to go to that place. I'm like, the computer organize the whole thing, and then I realized I was not on the crew selected to go to the holiday, but I set the whole thing up. Okay. I'm sure I understood that I was part of the group, but maybe I didn't hear it correctly, okay? So, man, was I down. Ek het 'n lip gehad. Ek organized the whole thing. And so God spoke to me after a day. And so I send an email to the place and I say, the people coming is the most amazing people. And I CC them all. You're going to enjoy it, guys, enjoy it. It is awesome. Sent. Okay. But for that day, I was so bitter. I couldn't believe it. It's a stupid little holiday for a few nights. And I'm just so glad God revealed these things to us. Because we laugh about it now, but you know what? The next thing is not a laughable challenge. The next thing is a big challenge. The next thing is important for me and my wife. It's important for my family. It's important for my integrity. The next test maybe is a public test. So it's important that God talks to us about these little things. And it's not me bringing it. It's just the tone of this morning, I think. If you think about tithing again, it's something that happens in secret. You can really stop doing it. No one will know it. Maybe your wife. But I know if I can keep my integrity in the privacy of my own room or of my own house, then I can have integrity in public square. And so I'm glad that God reveals to us the appetites of our heart. Because my appetite for that day of bitterness was I was so hungry and bitter because I wanted to go on holiday that it actually triumphs my relationship with Jesus, and I should be more hungry for Him. And so God comes and He schools me. This is the real appetite of your heart. I'm such a fool. And then I share it with people. Can you believe it? Any case. Temptation reveals the condition of your heart. And the enemy wants you to crave something else than Jesus. Always. Keeping you on His spiritual treadmill of death. You just run, it gets nowhere. And it's interesting how it works, because even if you get the thing that you thought you wanted, there's the next thing, and you just run, baby. Never get there. Until Jesus quenches a deep thirst. Amen? Let's move on. I hope my battery lasts. I want to read just that last verse 14 and 15 is on there. Next slide. I'm going through a lot of the scriptures again because I've got different angles that I want to take on them. Just go with me again. But each person is tempted when he's lured away, enticed by his own desires. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Now, I'm going to try and step into the ladies' world just for 5 minutes. Is that okay? Will you forgive me, girls, if I try and paint a picture of women's temptation? Can I try and do that? Okay, let's do this. So you wake up one morning, and for a moment, as you wake up and you look at the mirror, you get a fright because your hair is there. And just for a moment, you think, I wish I was prettier. Just for a moment. Nothing wrong at that moment. That's what you think. And just somehow the thought kind of, that image that you saw in the mirror when you woke up, it just comes back while you're having your cornflakes. And so you go, you take the thought to work, it bothers you a bit, and you go to the bathroom, doing the whole thing. And so you decide, that's it. Getting on the phone, I am phoning the hairstylist now. Hello, Afspraak. You go to the mall, you get your shoes, you get your clothes. All because of that silly thought. All right? It doesn't make sense so far. All the girls says. It looked like this. I see my man was. Because I know Mulek. Any case, so what happens here is this thing now escalates. It gives birth. So you come to church and the band is starting like a beat also op die drama bernay. And just as you started to worship, you were klingeling. This is now the girl next to you. It's her bangles. And you look at her and you're like, man, she's so pretty. Look at her hair. Is that color real? You know, listen, you're supposed to be worshiping right now, okay? Then you go down. Look at that shoe, spits. Woo! And so now, this is your worship service. You're busy comparing yourself with the other girls. And then it escalates even more. Because now what happens is, do you like have a someone that's in charge of the snacks here? Let me not use someone's name here. So we, at our church, we've got Henry Het. Okay. Now, as Henry Het snacks mark, dan eet ons. Okay. And she cannot, it's impossible for any girl to carry those plates out of a car. It's just too heavy. And so someone needs to help her carry. So you've got your version of Henry Het here. So now what happens is after this terrible week, your husband is the polite gentleman that helps her pick up the blooming plates and bring it into the building. Now tonight you ask her, do you like Henry Het's hair? And he is, what? Where is this? Do you think she looked pretty today? Can you see where I'm going with this? Now, I'm making it a bit laughable, but that's exactly how temptation works. Isn't that true? It's the silly thing. And even if you don't ask that to your husband or guys, to your wife, you think it for a second. And when that thought comes, guys, when we wake up in the morning and we see the hair in the mirror, we need to say, Jesus loves me, that I know. You know? Because now, it's a week later and you've just wasted a week of your life because of hairstyles, shoes. What a waste. We do the same, guys. With different things that we won't mention now. But it was never about your hair. It was always whether you believed God or the lie of the enemy. It's all temptation, it's lies. So this is a very good quote that I didn't put together. One back. I cannot afford to have a thought about me that he doesn't have about me. Done. So you need to have thought awareness. You need to be able to engage your heart and ask yourself, what am I believing today? What am I thinking today? Is this me? Is this God? Where is this coming from? Yes, that's why it's awesome to have friends that really love you and speak over you with love. Because they can often be God's voice and just direct us. Isn't that true? You are beloved and you are loved by God. He loves you a lot. So the third point there was, Satan empowers what I establish. Amen? You establish it, you plant it, you give it water, it will grow. Don't allow it. Don't allow it. If in doubt, kick it out. Easy. Let's go on. Are we still together? Are you getting some pointers here? Good. Let's read. Let's go to the Old Testament. Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him and said, yes, what they are building, if a fox go up on it, he will break down their stone walls. And now they're mocking. And they go on. So we built the wall, and the wall was joined together to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. Let's go on. Now, please don't call your son Sanballat. I'm telling you, it will be terrible. But when Sanballat and Tobiah, the Arabs and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the repairing of the walls of Jerusalem was going forward and that the breaches were beginning to be closed, they were very angry. And they all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and cause confusion in it. Where will you attack the enemy if it's got walls all around the city? The weak point. Okay? Weak places in my faith attracts demonic activity. It's like a magnet. Now, I'll use this example again. This was actually on my notes. If I have a weakness with money, this has got nothing to do whether I have a lot or little. Nothing, 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 nothing. It's about the desire in my heart. I will never have enough. Ever. I will never be blessed enough to give. I will always be in chains. If that is my weakness. So if that is your weak wall, build it up today. Get out of a cycle that's destructive. By faith, build the wall up. He will come for you. I really believe this, but I don't like saying this from the pulpit, but let me say this in any case. And this is the smartest thing I've ever heard when it comes to tithing, and this I didn't plan, but this one guy says, he's a pastor and you can trust him. And this is what we get from the Bible. Tithing breaks the curse over your life. That's it. Done. I spoke to Pastor Ross the other day from Tigerberg. He's never helped someone financially who's tithing. Never. Isn't that just amazing? No, but I can't afford to tithe. You can't because you're under a curse. Your car will break. Your washing machine will break. Then this will happen. It's just always there. This I've never said to a congregation, but that's what I believe. That's why I'm putting it out there. Sometimes when stuff in our life goes haywire, and wow, this is just not a normal month. I need to go ask God, am I under giving? Where can I give? Where can I sell? Show me, Lord. I'm talking about weak walls. And that's for some of us a very real example. Isn't that true, guys? Sorry for my honesty, but rather like this. If you have a weak wall when it comes to women, guys, I'm just using examples. You can apply this to anything. You know what? Your wife will never be good enough. Never. And the same the other way around. Let's build the wall up. Bring it to God. Bring it in the light. Pray about it. Bring our thoughts before God. Bring our hearts before God. Just to go take a step in a different direction. If it's something a bit more abstract like fear and faith, watch out. Watch out, because if the enemy gets you with fear and takes your faith again, he enters your whole palace. He gets everything. He gets your marriage, your workplace, your friendships, your family, your physical well-being. Okay? Fight for faith. If that's down, there's no walls. He just goes in everywhere. I've got another quote for you. The mind is being renewed by God, or it is at war with God. Easy. One of the two. Let's have our guards up. Amen? Point number four is weak walls attracts demons. And you know what? You can create an awareness. You can get to know yourself. Let me tell you what. I don't have a weakness for shoes. Or malls. Now everyone's looking at my shoes, eh? I am not tempted when I walk in the mall to go and get shoes. I promise you that. but apparently it's quite a big thing for ladies. We all have our things. But discover, ask your friends. Listen, you've known me now for a year or 5 years. Chat to me. You know how I think. I've spoken to you openly without choosing my words, speaking to my life. Where should I just be a bit alert? Be open with me, because I know you love me. Maybe I don't want to hear this from my boss. I don't want to hear this from another person, but if you tell it to me, I'll listen. Does that make sense? Let's rebuild the walls. Yeah. Let's go on to 2 Peter 1:4. By which he has granted to us. Sorry, I'm taking this verse out of context, but it's in context. You just don't have the whole thing there. By which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world. What Peter is saying there, he's starting the letter of 2 Peter, and he's addressing people, and he wants them to stand firm in their faith. And basically what he's saying is, there's one thing that's very important to us as Christians, to help us through difficult times and to help us through trials, and that's the promises of God. That's what he's saying. He says, in times when the enemy comes with lies. Okay, we know how it sounds like. Moving with your girlfriend, or I'm just using stuff that we all know and chat about in here. Don't worry about marriage. For every lie the enemy gives to us, God has a promise. What is the promise there? The promise is, no, I've got a marriage for you. I've got a wife. I've got a family. What do you want? A girlfriend or a wife? What is the promise of God in that situation? In every lie of the enemy, there's a promise of God. God is not just a sin-conscious God that says, no. He says yes, 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 but he gives us his promises. Do you want earthly inheritance? Do you want eternal inheritance? That's the promise. Yeah, I want eternal inheritance. I want to be eternally blessed. I want to be eternally I want to say it as well with my soul. So God, it's so easy to walk away from these lies because I see your promise. Can you see that? There's always a promise. In every temptation, there's a promise of God. Trust me, I will fill you. Trust me, I will protect you. Trust me, I will provide for you. Does that make sense? So the question I want to ask is, and this is probably the most important, you can forget all the others, is do you love Jesus? Do you love him? Is your heart warm for him? And do you love his word and how it washes you? And do you love it when the Holy Spirit speaks to you? When you worship, you're like, oh, he speaks to me so gently. Hold on to that. That is promising promises. It leads to life, not death. It leads to satisfaction within your soul and not an emptiness. And so the last point I want to make, well, firstly, I want to say this, and this is why the promises of God are so important. If we go to the next slide, is the battle of temptation is fought on the plains of desire. Okay? What do you desire most? Make the promises of God so desirable in your life. Give it names. Write it down. This is what God wants for me. Oh Lord, I desire this that you want to give me. Oh. Desire God. You're allowed to desire him. And if you sit down with a few friends and you write down common temptations and you look for promises, you'll see those promises is amazing compared to what the devil offers. But what it needs is faith, because it's not always instant. Does that make sense? But check your desires, because that will also reveal your weak walls. What's speaking in here, and bring that to God. The enemy cannot tempt me with something I don't desire. That's why he cannot tempt me with shoes. I don't desire it. I hate buying shoes. It's a waste of my time. But there's other things that I desire. All of us do. And where that fire is burning, and I want to ask you, where's that fire burning in your heart? The desire fire, where is it burning? Because I want to get that thing burning, but I want it burning for God. I want to say, last thing there, is that temptation is fueled by desire. Sin's battle is won or lost on the plains of desire, what I desire more. And I think that's what I love about David. I mean, he forces himself to say, Lord, I long for you. You know, my bones, they cry out for you. My heart longs for you. I am so desperate, and I sometimes need to pray like that just to get my desires, just to get it going again. And I want to encourage you, cry out to God. Get the deepest part of your heart and my heart to say, God, I desire you. And then we'll walk into that restaurant and we'll just, this is not mine, whose is this? And that's where we want to be. Amen. I've got one or two more things. I'm just going to leave it. Can we stand up? Can we stand up and just... Jesus, you are so good to us. And we want to declare, you are greatly desired amongst us. Won't you just repeat after me? Lord Jesus, I desire you. Your promises is great. You are beautiful. And you make me beautiful. Oh, my heart burns for you. Great is your promises. Worthy to be coveted. You are my treasure. The temptation of the enemy is nothing. You are eternal. Oh, I desire you, Lord. I want to taste your goodness. I want to experience your love. I want to drown in your goodness. Oh, there's so many good things to be desired. But it all ends in you. We desire you. We desire to have good marriages. From your hand. We desire to be effective in the workplace. We desire to bear fruit. Thank you for your promises. It sustains me. Yeah, Lord, thank you for just all of us, Lord. And I just really, 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 Lord, pray for us that we will be not ignorant, Lord, of where we're at. That we won't lose ourselves, Lord, in spiritual space. That we will really know where we are at. That we will become aware of our weak walls, Lord, and build it up brick by brick. With repentance, confession, the breaking of bread, making commitments unto you, memorizing scriptures, speaking truth over ourselves. Yeah, Lord, and we had a good time this morning and we laughed a few times, Lord. But I really feel that you believe that you're saying to every lady in this place that you're so beautiful to him. Don't change anything. Change your heart. Change your desires. Laugh more. Relax. He loves you. Lord, and to the men, I just believe you are saying to the men that you are our success. That we should just long to know you more. Oh, Lord, I pray over us, Lord, over every man, Lord, that we will be men of God, Lord, men of integrity. Men of honesty. Just the whole time raising questions. The whole time. Why you do this? Because I love Jesus. Why do you speak like this? Because I love Jesus. Lord, I just want to release over every lady, Lord. Over every woman. A huge portion of gentleness. Because I feel, Lord, that you are saying that the gentleness and the graciousness of the ladies in this congregation is going to break open the hard hearts. May your grace flow, Lord. Just where you're standing, if you just want to commit a very specific area in your life to the Lord, I'm just going to pray for you from the front. But if you've recognized maybe a weak wall in your life, won't you just put up your hand very high? Only you know what that is. And just say to God under your breath, this is my area, Lord. Here it is in the air now before you. Won't you just pray after me? Lord Jesus, right now, this may be a weakness. When I am weak, you are strong. Make me strong now. In this area, as I bring my heart before you, make me strong. Lord Jesus, I commit to speak to one trustworthy person about this wall, about this area, to build it up. I desire you more than this. name of Jesus.